Gerald. Welcome to 1590 The Connection.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Research Center for Wireless Technology. And we have always suspected that our cell phones, especially when I talk on mine and I can feel it getting hot, I think, there's something else going on here other than communication. And the electromagnetic fields, or EMFs, as they're called, are they a real problem with cell phones?
Well, we definitely would like to believe they're not as we walk around with our cool little gadgets and become more and more addicted to them each and every day. But I like to start off with one study that was done in 1993 by, what happened was Larry King Live had a man named Dave Raynard on his show because he was suing the cell phone industry. And he was suing them because he lost his wife to a brain tumor that was the same size and shape as a cell phone antenna. So what happened from there is they called in a public health scientist, Dr. George Carlo. They pulled together $28 million, and this became a six-year study. And long story short, at the end of the study, everything went fine for 4 or 5 years. At the end of the study, after double peer-reviewed, very high, strict standards for these studies, the reports came out, double-strand DNA breakages, blood-brain barrier breaches, micronuclei formation, all of these are either forms of, if you have double-strand DNA breakage in the body, that's a great warning sign that you have, you only need a few double-strand DNA breakages for cancer to form. Or blood-brain barrier breachage is another one. That's a protective membrane that keeps out toxins, keeps out dangerous proteins, keeps our toxic blood out of our, away from our brain. So that's a little nutshell. A lot of people probably never heard of that study. And that was a $28 million study to show the dangers of cell phone radiation.
Now, technology has changed, so might it be that the cell phones of then are different from the cell phones now?
Well, that's a good question, and it's changed, but here's the, we're dealing with a frequency band. The only regulations out there at this point in time, Ron, are called SARs, specific absorption ratio, and they have to do with, one, the heat, 1.6 watts per kilogram of tissue affected. What that, when also in this one block of study that he did over 6 years, Dr. George Carlo, one of the things he showed was half the amount, 1.6, he showed at levels 0.8 that the body was affected, the tissue was affected. So that's half the levels. And we're only talking to break down cell phone radiation, you have to break it into two parts. One is the thermal heating effects, and that's what the SAR is based on. Then there's a non-thermal frequency effects, and that's what makes your cell phone travel through the air wirelessly. When we have our wireless gadgets, our wireless internet, our wireless phones, you have all these new things. They're traveling at a frequency through the air that oscillates at billions of times per second. See, a quick EMF lesson, or a quick, we're direct current beings. The first power line strung up by Thomas Edison, that was direct current flowing in one direction. And we're low direct current beings, like the Earth, North Pole, South Pole. Now, you deal with plugging something into the wall, that is 60 hertz per second. That goes back and forth. Imagine a tennis match, getting it back and forth 60 times per second. Now I'm going to jump up to cell phones. Two are a cordless phone in your house, just as dangerous. 2.4 gigahertz. They're hitting that tennis ball back and forth. 2.4 gigahertz means billions of times per second. That's an oscillating frequency upon the brain or any part of the body that cell phone's next to. So that's just to give you an idea. This is a foreign frequency that this is one of the largest biological human experiments in history that we have upon us right now.
So you're saying cordless phones and cell phones both have that amount of gigahertz going?
Well, you're dealing with these frequency bands. From a cell phone goes from anywhere. The older cell phones that you were speaking of were 837 megahertz to 1.9 gigahertz. And eventually, it's like a freeway system. The lines got used up, and they got into a digital frequency,
mm-hmm.
which would enable multiple callers to be on one frequency at one time. And then what happened from there is we have cordless phones have from 2.4 gigahertz all the way up. I've seen them as high as 8.0 gigahertz now. These are frequency bands that are not safe, are going to be, they've already been proven not safe. I try to watch my words, but basically they're going to, as time goes by and we have this new generation of children that are...
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is that we've got kids now, including my own, who have cell phones, who my daughter walks around holding it in her hand. God forbid she miss out on a phone call.
Probably sleeping with it, not to miss out on a text or something. And
exactly.
That's another little tidbit. I'll see if I can tie this all together. The children are the first generation where they're growing up not only with cell phones, and that may be their only phone, and they'll spend anywhere from 1,000 minutes a month, or we say 50 minutes a month, all the way up to 3,000 minutes a month. And people don't realize, plus wireless technology, they're around wireless computers, wireless hotspots, cell towers, things that we didn't have our whole generations. And now a cell phone also emits at full power. Even if you're not talking on it, it has to be powered off to be not emitting at all or checking into the cell tower, because they're constantly have data going back and forth. So if you have a child that's sleeping with their cell phone next, even an adult who's using their cell phone as an alarm clock right next to their head, it's not a very smart thing to be doing at night, because these cell phones are powering into the base station consistently.
So you're saying even if you're near it and not holding it next to your ear, you're still being exposed to it.
Yes, and then it comes the question of how far can a cell phone transmit. And with devices, for example, in the field I'm in, I have tri-field meters and different meters that can detect the radiation emitted by cell phones and other wireless technology. And you got about a foot with cell phone radiation where it drops off. A TV is about 3 feet. A microwave oven can go up to 10 feet where you can detect magnetic fields.
Emitted from the microwave?
Yeah, microwave. The Germans knew very well after they created the microwave after the end of World War II, or during World War II, to make it so they could have rations and food distributed to the soldiers as quickly as possible. And then after the war was done, they said, we do not want that device. They banned it, basically. And the Japanese and the U.S. wholeheartedly took it in, and now it's in our kitchens. But they showed evidence of everything from brainwave disruption to the molecular destruction within the foods, making it so when you ingest food from a microwave oven after it's been exposed to it, white blood cell counts go crazy within the body. They just raise as if it's a foreign organism entering the body.
Now, we've had a caller who wanted to know if you're affected the same way if you use a headset with your cell phone as you are if you put the cell phone to your ear.
And that's a good question. One thing on my site at danger911.com, I have a picture of, it's a little news broadcast of about 16 people standing on their high-tension power lines, and what happens is they have light fluorescent tubes in their hand, the kinds you see in office buildings or even in houses, and from there, they're lighting up the tubes without them being plugged in, just holding them in their hand at night. It's a two-minute video. I highly recommend you watch it, but that's how headsets work. Headsets work similar. You have the headset plugged into the cell phone, and then it's in your ear. And what happens is the EMFs run up the wire directly into your ear, so then you're being exposed to wherever the cell phone is and then wherever the headset is.
What about the headsets like the Bluetooth that are separate that don't actually connect to the cell phone?
Well, it's kind of interesting with the Bluetooth, and I've talked to people, their head gets... He said, well, let's first revert over to Leif Salford, Dr. Leif Salford at Lund University in Sweden. He's a neurosurgeon who did over 20 years of research on the blood-brain barrier. And what he showed is it takes as little as 1/200th of a milliwatt for the blood-brain barrier for breaches of the blood-brain barrier. The Bluetooth emits one tenth of a milliwatt of radiation. What that means is, if his research is correct, you're opening up the blood-brain barrier. But I have to say, I've dealt with people who've gotten headaches. Well, I've dealt with one person who, every time she talked on the cell phone, would get a headache. And when she switched over to the Bluetooth, she actually found relief. She says if she talks with the Bluetooth a while, she starts to have an effect, but she can talk for a little while and not have the same effects as she had before that.
So it would suggest that it is less of a problem with the EMF?
Yeah, it would definitely, but the way we found 100% relief for her is AirTube headsets, which are also on my site, and you can find this. What it is it's a stethoscope air type tube, and that the last 4 inches next to your ear are all the air tube. The rest is a wire, and what that does is it has sound waves travel up it instead of electrical waves.
And does that conform to most cell phone adaptations? Because everyone has different now plugins.
Mostly the Nokias, the earlier Nokias, the ones made in the 90s and 80s, it doesn't. But most with a 2.5, anything that has a 2.5 millimeter jack, it does. The Razer phones, unfortunately, it doesn't. The ones with the USB ports, it doesn't. So that's one unfortunate thing. But if your phone has a standard jack, it does.
Now, what about pregnant women and cell phones?
Well, that's a... There's a loaded gun there. Here's what... At the University of Utah, Dr. Om Gandhi, this is as early as 1997. People say the research isn't in the U.S., but this is all research that has been done in the United States. And what he showed was penetration of radiation through the skulls of a 5-year-old, 10-year-old, and an adult. And in the 5-year-old, it went clear 75% of the way through their skull because they're still forming their skeletal structure, their membranes, their organs. Now, bring that to a fetus. The tissue, we're talking mitosis, you know, everything. We're in the beginning stages of everything forming. And a cell phone that close to a mother's womb. So in this situation, I'd actually say a wired headset would be more dangerous because then you're putting the phone right next to your abdomen. Right? So you want to keep that. If you're going to talk on a cell phone with a child, you really want to keep that cell phone up next to your ear rather than down near the child.
The time is 6:52, and we're visiting with Paul Sean Fitzgerald from the Research Center for Wireless Technology. And, Paul, I'm curious, with us needing to survive in this day and age of telecommunication and all that sort of thing, and what about the handheld devices like BlackBerries and PDAs? Do they have the same kind of technology?
Same technology as in...
Yes, the EMF.
You're dealing with anything that's wireless, you're dealing with a frequency band that causes these type of results. And for example, Dr. Henry Lai, so the short answer is yes. The long answer is Dr. Henry Lai at the University of Washington has researched electromagnetic fields for the last 20 years. And he showed one little simple study of rats underneath water that would have to swim and find a platform would find it every time once they learned the path. Exposing them to EMFs, similar to cell phone radiations, they would never find the platform. One exposure, they could not find the platform. They'd miss it. Their short-term memory just disappeared. He reproduced this over and over and over again.
So they get disoriented or they lose part of their brain functioning?
Well, it's a good question. One thing that's never been studied yet is every living creature has a mineral called magnetite that's thousands of times more attractive than any other type of metal with magnetic fields that cell phones emit, wireless technology emits, TVs emit. The humans have the magnetite in their lining meninges of their brain and in the blood-brain barrier. So this is having it's conducting with the cell phone or the wireless technology. And magnetite is used for example, with birds and fish, it's in fish's gills and birds in their beaks, as a navigational tool. When it's cloudy out, that's how they use it with the Earth's magnetic field in order to keep on track instead of using the sun or the stars. So, and that's a good way to put it. The way that you worded it is it disorienting them, it very well could be.
So is there a safe amount of time that we can spend on cell phones or with wireless devices?
Well, going back to Dr. Lee Salford's studies of 2 minutes on the cell, he proved that 2 minutes on the cell phone is enough to open up the blood-brain barrier. And if this is correct, you know, 2 minutes, who spends 2 minutes on a cell phone?
So that. So, and my question to you, Paul, is do you have a cell phone and do you use it?
I do. Right now we're talking on a landline, but when it comes to, the more I've learned over the last 15 years, the more I've cut my cell phone use down and I use AirTube headsets, because I used to get a sore ear when I talk on the cell phone. And then when I switched to the AirTube headset, I didn't have that problem. I just try to either do speakerphone is another way you can do it, but the problem with speakerphone and cell phones is you see so many people that what happens is the speakerphone's on, and then it's next to their face, and then it's next to their ear, because most speakerphones and cell phones are inadequate.
Right. It's distorting, or it's too echoing, or whatever. But then there's technology in cars now where you can have it through your system.
Yeah. Unfortunately, then you're bringing... That's a great segue here. See, Michael Faraday in 1856, they call him the father of modern-day EMF principles. He proved that you could take a electromagnetic field and ground them either on the outside of a cage, the inside of a cage. And what happens when you're in a vehicle, a steel structure such as a car, is you bring those electromagnetic fields inside the vehicle, and they'll bounce around, and you'll expose everybody in the car.
So it's worse.
Plus the cell phone has to work harder because the signal gets weaker. So the cell tower works harder, the cell phone works harder to keep the signal constant. So from there, there's ways to ground it outside of the car, but there's not enough cell phones that have the attachment, or they're not making it as readily available to ground it on top of the car like a CB.
Paul, we're running out of time. I just wanted to make sure that we share your web address again. It's danger911.com.
That'll work, danger911.com.
And would love to have you visit again.
Yeah, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. And cut down that cell phone use out there.
Well, Sean Fitzgerald, thank you so much. Thank you for visiting with 1590 The Connection. This is Maria Sanchez. We'll be right back. Good morning. We're running up to the...